Good morning. For years, I've been hearing stories about Good Shepherd Mission and listening to the experience of those from Calvary Church that went on the mission trips to Patur. I became especially interested when I heard all of the stories from the last mission group that went over, with many of the young adults that went being in similar age to my two children. After hearing their stories, I thought how nice it would be for McKenna and Connor to be able to have such a wonderful and meaningful experience. Connor's a junior at Penn State, does well academically, and has the ability to be comfortable talking with people in any social setting. McKenna is a high school senior who is a strong and independent person and who is always there to champion and fight for the underdog. Both Connor and McKenna are good, kind-hearted kids, and like any parent, I want to give them everything that I can. Although they are both always thankful for everything that they have and are given, I began to notice instances of entitlement and of becoming a bit self-absorbed. To this day, they debate that last one with me. But in light of this, I thought that being part of the team going to Good Shepherd Mission could provide them with an improved perspective, some needed grounding, again, in my opinion, and hopefully a desire to give back in some way. I knew that in spite of all the mission stories that I had heard, and as much as I thought I knew about what to expect, those expectations would be dramatically different from what we would ultimately experience. As the trip grew closer, I became more and more excited about watching Connor and McKenna throughout the trip, looking forward to seeing all of the experiences they would have and their reactions to them. Finally, after flying from Newark to Athens to Dubai into Chennai, and then about a two-hour bus ride, we arrived at Good Shepherd Mission on December 28th. As soon as we stepped off the bus, we were greeted by children in so much fanfare it was difficult to take it all in, and you just wanted to slow down time so you wouldn't miss anything. From the moment we arrived and every day that we were there, we were surrounded by friendly, smiling faces, both young and old. Nothing seemed to matter more to everyone at Good Shepherd Mission than our comfort and well-being. Anytime we were on the Good Shepherd Mission compound and had free time, we were drawn to the children, whether it be playing cricket, soccer, Marco Polo, a version of Duck Duck Goose, or just braiding hair and talking to everyone. Through the generosity of Calvary and others, we were able to sponsor and participate in four clinics, one in the Good Shepherd Mission Hospital and three out in various surrounding villages. We spent an evening at an HIV/AIDS hospice sponsored by Good Shepherd Mission and provided those there with food and blankets. We served numerous meals to homeless, orphans, beggars, and gypsies from Patur and surrounding villages and gave them blankets. All these experiences were both heartbreaking and heartwarming, often feeling both emotions at the same time. During our time at Good Shepherd Mission and around Patur, I tried to sit back and let Connor and McKenna just experience the trip without constantly asking them questions about what they were thinking about and everything around them. I realized that they were going through so many emotions and experiences different from anything they'd ever known before, that they were just trying to take it all in and enjoy the moment. While I watched them, I saw as I expected. Connor was drawn to the children and played with them or just hung out at every opportunity, even happily letting the girls braid his hair and give him henna tattoos. He was especially touched by the children at the HIV/AIDS clinic and the hardships they've had to endure in their short lives. When I told Connor I would be speaking today, and I asked him to send me something about his experience I could share with the congregation, he sent me the following. My trip to India was arguably the most impactful experience I've ever had, meeting so many people who are happy, generous, and caring, and yet have so little, has really taught me that I really have nothing to ever complain about. It reaffirmed how lucky I am to have such a fortunate life. The least I can do to show my appreciation is give what I can to the people in need, like those at Good Shepherd Mission. The bonds that I have made with the children over there playing cricket, soccer, and other games is so strong. I wish to be a part of the mission, and give to those kids and the kids that will arrive in the future for the rest of my life. McKenna is a little tougher nut to crack. Not so easy to read or as open with her heart, with what is in her heart or on her mind as Connor. She, too, though, was drawn to the children and spent much of her free time playing with them, at first at somewhat of a distance behind her brother, but she then soon stepped out on her own with the children and others in various settings, enjoying playing games, sitting down and chatting with the girls and brother Henry, and after a few short instructions, confidently began preparing the syringes for the injections at each of the medical clinics. I also asked McKenna what she would like me to say as a result of her experience at Good Shepherd Mission, and she said, "The trip to India has been the greatest experience of my life. Getting to be a part of something bigger than myself is something I will cherish forever. I will never forget the faces and the smiles of the kids at the orphanage and the children across the city in the different villages. India will always be in my heart, and I can't wait to go again." I am grateful to have had the opportunity to take Connor McKenna on such a wonderful trip, and I'm anxious to see as time passes where the experience from the trip will take them. As for me, I did not know how I would react to the trip. I knew it would be meaningful, but I had no idea how it would impact me. All while we prepared for the trip over the 14 months or so and hearing the stories from those on the team that had visited before, I wondered if I would somehow have a spiritual epiphany at one point on the trip, a God moment some spoke about. I did not. When I got back home and was asked by everyone, "How was your trip?" my sincere response was always, "It was great. We can't wait to go back again." Inevitably, they would ask me why, and I would struggle to articulate an answer. The areas we visited while at Good Shepherd Mission were the poorest and often some of the most primitive places I'd ever been. But the beauty in the landscape beyond the trash and the beauty in the people beyond their poverty touched me in ways that are difficult to express. I've never been surrounded by so much hardship while at the same time so much warmth and genuine happiness over the simplest things in life. There seemed to be endless smiles and laughter in spite of their circumstances, something not regularly witnessed in this country in spite of all the comforts and opportunities that we have available to us. It wasn't until after I was back at home for a while and settled back into my routine that I realized I had, in fact, changed. It wasn't one pivotal moment, and it wasn't a wholesale transformation, but rather a series of moments that have caused subtle changes in the way I look at people and experiences. I was reminded and became more aware of the effect of a simple smile and more in tune with the happiness found in simplicity. I'm not looking at a person in judgment, but trying to look inside or for signs as to what they might be experiencing in that moment and what I can do to make that moment easier or more comforting. I don't remember the circumstances, but while we were at Good Shepherd Mission, Pastor Scott cited a quote by St. Francis that struck me and I think pretty much sums up my experience and the impact of my trip to Good Shepherd Mission. "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." And it's another strange coincidence that I'm going to have to spend some time thinking about, because it was no discussion between Pastor Scott and I ahead of time about unison prayer being by St. Francis. So I don't know if that's a coincidence or another little subtle nudge, but I want to thank you all for letting me share my experience at Good Shepherd Mission this morning with you.
It wasn't coincidence. It hopefully was God incidence. That was done intentionally. Where was God in the trip to India? Honestly, where wasn't God in this trip? For me. Part of what made it easy to sense God's presence is that everything was so new and different. Even everyday things were so different that they captured my full attention and they drew me into the present moment. That's where we always experience God, face to face. Present moment. Riding in the front seat of a van, observing traffic, that's an everyday, ordinary thing. It's not ordinary in India. No. In America, we don't usually expect to slow down or stop on I-95 to get around cows, goats, farm tractors, overloaded carts, bicycles, people walking on the lane, or chatting, or having lunch, or even, I saw this once, no lie, not on the shoulder, on the lane of the road, a guy was asleep, sleeping. I would never try to drive in India. If it hadn't been for Praveen, Brother Henry's son, walking us like preschoolers across a busy street in Chennai, and we were standing in the middle of traffic, it was like white water going around a rock in the middle of the rapids. We wouldn't have been able to cross a street, something that ordinary and simple. If I ever doubted the power of a genuine, warm welcome, I will never, ever doubt it again. As soon as we stepped off the bus, we were given a parade. Not just escorted, we were given a parade. Showered with flower petals, smiles, handshakes, given leis of fresh flowers that came down to here, weighed a couple of pounds each. A grand procession to Brother Henry's mission house, where somebody had created this gorgeous, and I've seen it in some of the pictures here, lotus design sand art that was gone in less than a week. Next to a banner that's larger than our church sign out here that had all of our names listed on it. I saw that cycle through too. In one village we were given, in addition to that kind of a ticker tape parade, they had a Santa with a scary mask dancing along with drums wailing away and one bugler up to serpentine-shaped firecrackers hooked together, and they'd set them all off, and then in their sandals and bare feet would walk past all of these, who knows if another one would go off, march to this beautiful ornate tent, sitting up on these steps, like up here, only higher, as if we were the president being sworn in. Amazing. And they fed us, and fed us, and fed us, and fed us. We could not help them set the table. We could not help them clear the table. And we could not refuse seconds. And being a pastor, Brother Henry put me to work. He had me preach 3 times. He gave me specific themes and time frame. Apparently, who would have thunk, my first message was too short. Praying with a translator was the hardest challenge for me. Because I have no notes when I pray. So I pray and I wait for it to be translated. Where was I, God? Those challenges paled next to the depth of how Brother Henry honored me as a pastor. He had me dedicate their freshly painted water tower and let us climb to the top of it. He had me dedicate their nearly completed new school. He didn't do it. He had me dedicate it. And the best thing of all, he came to me and he said ahead of time, I want you to baptize Sweetie's baby. And not only baptize her, I want you to name her. Give her baby girl the name she will carry the rest of her life. I can't. Me? So we had a collaborative effort on the porch, you've also seen in the pictures. And we came up with a name that we really liked. And it's very touching. And I'll tell you the name in a moment. Sweetie was hacked up with machetes by her parents when she was about 3 or 5 years old, left in the forest, bleeding for the wild animals to finish her off. Police found her, brought her to the mission. She grew up there, fell in love with another young man at the mission. They are now married. They have this baby girl. You still see the scars on her face, but you see a smile on her face as she holds the baby. And we got to name her Elena Rose. Elena means sunshine. Her life is, she's resurrected because of that mission. Lastly, I want to thank the anonymous donor who made it possible for me to even make this trip. Literally, no exaggeration, this was a life-changing trip. I am humbly grateful. And to widen the circle, we all thank you for this incredible opportunity. Because you made this happen. We were the lucky ones. We got to go in person and receive their gratitude. We got to go in person and get their smiles and their hugs and their selfies, selfies, selfies with your cell phone cameras. You were the ones who gave the money, that bought the food, that fed them, that bought the blankets when we went to the HIV hospice and gave them food and blankets. You are the ones who provided the pharmacy, which was a folding card table, distributed to all who needed it. You did that. We were the lucky ones who received the thank yous in person. I really tried to keep this to 5 minutes. I'm probably over five. Can you indulge me 90 more seconds? The last 2 days, one of the youth, a young man, started to call me dad. He would shadow me. And I started to call him son. It just felt like the most natural thing in the world. He was up on the hike. I don't know if any of those pictures made it in here or not. And his name is D. Santosh. And so he asked me if I would buy him new shoes and a backpack, they call a bag, for school. So I said yes. I gave the money to Henry. He had somebody take him into town, Patur. Later in the day, he comes back and he proudly puts his new shoes over his bare feet. And he stands sideways. I've got pictures of him with his new backpack on. Then he blew my mind. He pulled this over his head, had me bend down, and he put it over my head. And this is a chain that you use for a stopper in a sink, you know, little metal balls. And this is a plastic S. And he held the S in his palm, and he looked at me, and he pointed it at me, and he said, S for Scott. S for Santosh. And then he called me dad. I have a new son. I've told my boys they've got a new brother. I love him. I wanted to sponsor all of them. That was the problem. But I'm going to sponsor him. He'll forever be in my heart. And none of this would have happened if you hadn't supported me personally and us collectively.